It is great to see you this morning. I'm thankful we have this opportunity to open up our Bibles today and study it and challenge ourselves along the way to be better workers in the kingdom, to be better soul winners, to be better Christian husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, children, neighbors, friends. It is a time that we want to talk about being thankful. But the Bible also reminds us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. It has been some sad days around here lately, as not too long ago, Brother Ed Giese stepped away from this earth to eternity. Then another great, great man, Bob Bagwell. Maybe one of the most talented men I've ever known in my life, also stepped into eternity. But then, on Thursday morning, I received a very sad call from Michael Davidson. Michael's father-in-law, Jessica's dad. He has had a lot of health concerns, but this was still very sudden. Late Wednesday night, passed away. And so, tomorrow alone, there are two funerals at two different places. Brother Bob Bagwell's is at Mobile Memorial, and then Jessica's dad's will be at Valhalla. I believe the visitation is at 12 and the funeral is at 1. We need to support these families, encourage these families the best way we can. But what I want to do right now is pray for these families. So if you would, please bow with me. Father, we love you so much, and we're so thankful to be your children. Father, we're so thankful for this church family, where it's an exciting time of the year. Father, it's exciting to hear babies talking, and babies being happy. It's exciting to see mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and singles and everybody that we have here, Father. Father, we love to rejoice. We love to do things like coming up in December where we all get together and have great times and hear this coming week in Thanksgiving. But Father, today we have family members that are hurting. And we ask your blessings on them. We ask you to continue to be with Sister Joy Giese. Continue to comfort her in the time of her loss from her loving, faithful husband Ed. Father, for Sister Frieda Bagwell, a great, great lady who stood by her man and he stood by her for many years, serving in the church together. Brother Bob Bagwell, such a great elder in the church, such a great worker, so gifted with his hands, with his mind, a soldier. Father, it's a huge loss, but we ask your blessings on Sister Frieda and their family. But then, Father, we also come to you on behalf of Jessica, Michael, Dylan, Allison, Jessica's mom, their family, Father, at this time. Father, it hurts when somebody's hurting like they are today. Father, I am thankful to not only be brothers and sisters in Christ with Jessica and Michael and their children, but to have known her father. I'm thankful for the gifted man that he was and the loving father, grandfather, husband. But Father, they're hurting today. And we ask you, Father, to stand in the gap to heal their broken heart. Be with these families, comfort them Father, help us to all be reminded that You are the God of all comfort. And Father, I ask You to shower Your peace, comfort, and love on all these families. We offer this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Sorry to start with some sad news, but I'm thankful to now transition into some good news. We have had several visiting with us for quite some time, and these family members have worshiped at another side of town for years, and then they've moved to our side of town, and they've been visiting with us, and today they want to take that visitor's card and put it away and bring that member card out. So all these are placing their membership with us today. Sister Renee Gross, Joseph Jackson, Gaynell Jackson, Julius Lyles. I just went and asked how to say this, so I'm going to try it again, Joseph. Let's see. Teresa Anabra. Anabraba. Did I say it right? And Jada Anabraba. All right? So that's, don't ask me to say that 10 times fast. But I asked me to hug them about 10 times. Y'all stand up, all right? Everybody I just called, stand up. I know you've gotten to know them already, but if you haven't, get to know them. They are special people. Joseph would want you to know he has to work a lot on Sundays, unfortunately. I mean, until we can find him a great job that doesn't do that, right, brother? And so, y'all, but he's here today, so we wanted to go ahead and do that, and we're thankful for that. Get ready to be plugged in, though. All right. Church, it is the time of the year that we, as a society, I hope a society still does this, but I know that people in this room, people that love God, that love family, that love one another, are going to get together and they're going to be thankful. We're going to have a lot of food and we're going to be thankful for that. But I hope we don't just get sidetracked on the food. I hope we don't just get sidetracked on getting seconds and thirds and really hurting ourselves that day. I hope that's not what it's about. Yeah, I know that's a big tradition and that's a big part of it. But getting together and being thankful for family, being thankful for the blessings we have, counting our blessings, naming them one by one, that's what this time of year ought to be about. As Christians, it needs to be our everyday life. But it's here for us to focus on, so let's focus on it. Today, I want to talk to you about being thankful. I want to talk to you about what the Bible, I believe, instructs us to do to have a gratitude kind of life. To live a life being full of gratitude. There's a lot of ingratitude that's going on in the world today. There's a lot of folks that are not thankful for what others do for them. They are not thankful for kind gestures. They're not thankful for happy smiles. They're not thankful for the blessings they have in life. We as Christians are not created to be that way. We are a created being by God Almighty, knit together in our mother's womb, written on our DNA. God put it in all of us to be thankful people. So today, I want you to open up with me to Colossians chapter 3. You see, I'm reaching for the remote, and I don't have a PowerPoint. That's how habits work, right? Colossians 3, it is my fault we don't have a PowerPoint, and I will take all the blame of that. So I'm sorry. And today's the day, though, you just get your notebooks out and follow along with me if you want to take some notes here. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You see, what Paul is writing there to the church, and we're going to study this in a few weeks here in my class in the auditorium, in the fellowship hall. We're studying the book of Colossians, but what Paul is talking to them about is several things. He's talking about that peace that we know through Jesus Christ that passes all understanding. He's talking about being unified, being called, you're under one body, but he's talking to them about being thankful. You see, when we live a thanks-living kind of life, when we live that kind of life, there is no reason that everything we say and do will not all be done in accordance to the glory of God. Everything we do, if I'm living a life thankfully like I should, then everything I do will bring glory to God. Now, that doesn't mean I'll be perfect, but my steps, my actions, my words, my prayers, my Bible study, my everything will be done so that God will get the glory. But it takes a commitment. It takes submission. It takes changing who we are, because we live in a world of ingratitude. So how do we change it? I got a lot of points today, so stay with me. We'll get through them, I promise, in a timely manner. The first one, if I'm going to live a life of thanks, the very first thing I believe we should do is trust God. If I'm going to live a life of thanks, the first thing I've got to understand, it's about trusting God. If we're going to be thankful to God each day, every day, we need to trust God is always going to direct our steps, light our path, and provide for us. Abraham and Isaac in Genesis 22. In Genesis 22, Abraham and Isaac. You know that story, right? If you don't know that story, I encourage you to study Genesis 22. Because let me tell you about Genesis 22 briefly. Abraham was promised a son with his wife Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, being old people and older people, and deciding not to wait on God, thinking that God wasn't going to give them a child. He had promised He's going to bless all nations through them. Took it upon themselves for Abraham to go and have a child with someone else. And even though Ishmael's born, that is not the promised child that God promised Abraham and Sarah. So as a 100-year-old, Abraham has a child named Isaac. And this son, Isaac, is growing up to, through his seed, all nations would be blessed. The way we know that is Jesus Christ is going to come through Isaac. He's going to come through Abraham's lineage and seed. But of course, as he is around lad's age, right, he is with his father. They gather some sticks. They gather some things, and they're going to go and worship. They're going to go and make sacrifice. Now, along the journey, Abraham is trusting God. I don't think any of us would say that Abraham's not a thankful person, but he's trusting God. And you'll remember that it gets to the point that Isaac starts figuring things out. Hey, we've got this and we've got that. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, God will provide. God will provide. He had already told those who were with him, hey, y'all wait here. The lad and I will go over here and worship, and we will return. So he goes, and he goes to make the sacrifice of his own son, Isaac. It was a test by God to see how faithful Abraham would be. And of course, before he has to take his son's life, God provided, just like Abraham knew he would. You see, Abraham trusted in God. Do you have that kind of trust? Do we have that kind of trust today? Do we have the kind of trust that we know God's going to provide for us in every circumstance of life? You see, I think sometimes that's all put to the test, isn't it? I think right now we could probably sit here and say, yes, I have that kind of trust. But when the fire gets turned up a little bit, sometimes we don't. And what happens when we start losing that trust, we become ungrateful people. We forget about all the times God's heard our prayers, answered them in a positive way for us. And we allow that one occasion to say, why God? God, do you not care? We become unappreciative of Him. People that fall away from God, they quit living thankful lives. They quit trusting for God to prepare for them, to provide for them. You see, we can't fully appreciate God until we develop an undeniable trust. You see, God is going to provide. But we got to trust Him. And when we see that God provides, we've got to return and be thankful. Secondly, this morning, if I'm going to live a thankful kind of life, I need to have a hope in heaven. I need to trust God, and I need to have a hope in heaven. You see, hope changes everything. I want you to think back now again to Genesis. Genesis chapter 6. This is the story of Noah. Noah building this ark. Why did Noah build the ark? Why did Noah endure all the ridicule? Why did Noah work so hard and put up with so much? Have you thought about it that way? Over 100 years, some scholars would tell you, it took Noah to complete this giant vessel. I mean, think about that. I mean, I don't think that we can put in perspective how long it took to build this boat. They didn't have modern technology like us. Even with modern technology, it'd take a long time. They had to go chop these trees. They had to go, they were rough cut, so they had to mill them down and prepare it. It had to be a certain type of wood, the gopher wood. It couldn't be oak. It couldn't be pine. It couldn't be maple. It had to be this certain wood. I mean, can you imagine if Shem, Ham, and Japheth were there and they're like, some pine trees are a lot closer than the gopher wood trees? I mean, it'd been real tempting to be like, hey, I'm going to sneak some of this in there. But that boat wouldn't have floated because God wanted it done specifically. But what did He tell Noah along the way? He said, Noah, I'm going to flood this world. I'm going to destroy this world. But everybody that's on that boat will be saved. So now you hear that. He trusted God, didn't he? We know that. But now he's got a hope, doesn't he? What's his hope? Oh yeah, this is a lot of work. It's going to be hard. But God's going to save me. You see, that changes everything today. Oh, by the way, the church is our ark, right? It's our vessel. Today, if we are part of the church, is it hard work? Certainly. If not Noah kind of hard work. But it's hard work. It's hard work to be a Christian. It's hard work to do things the right way. It's hard work to get up and press on in a world of ungrateful people, in a world of sinful people. It's hard to be the light sometimes. But there is hope. There is hope that whoever is in this boat will be saved. Look at, I read this Wednesday night when Noah gets off the ark. He thanks God. Genesis 8, verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Today, why does sad days of someone who is a saint, someone who has lived a legacy, someone who has lived the life of Christianity, a faithful life, why is it not as sad as it could be? Because now they have that hope as a reality. But what helps us press on? What helps us be thankful? It is a hope that we have heaven prepared for us. Remember, Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. That is a personal pronoun. Put your name in that place. He's getting heaven ready for you. Be thankful. Thirdly, this morning, if I'm going to live a life of thanksgiving, a life of thanks, I need to abide in Him. I need to trust. I need to have hope. And I need to abide in Him. You know where safety is? Under the wings of God. I've told this story before, so I hope you'll allow me to share it with you again. There were a lot of fires going on out in California. And there's a lot of burned up acreage. And firefighters were sifting through some of the debris and burn. And they were just combing over the lands, and they were walking to and fro. And this one particular firefighter comes up, and it was kind of a sad scene. But the fires came through so quickly that it basically petrified a bird. That bird was just sitting there, and it looked like the fires had just come over it, and it turned to ash. Well, it kind of broke the firefighter's heart. He was, you know, a sympathetic kind of guy. And he just said, I don't want anybody else to see this sad scene, so I'm going to just kind of knock these remains over with his foot. And when he did, three little baby birds ran out, safe and alive. You see, what that mother bird did was she took her babies in the midst of that fire, and she put them under her wings. And she bore the fire so that her babies could walk free. Christ came and bore the fire. God came and bore the fire so that you and I can walk free today. So that you and I will not be consumed. So that you and I will not be harmed. We need and must abide in Him. This world is very scary. I hear these babies, and I have babies, even though they're older now, they're still my babies. You have grandbabies, you have nieces, you have nephews, you have those that you love, and you're holding them in your arms, and you think about this world they're growing up in. Well, guess what? Our mamas and daddies held us at one time and thought about this world we're growing up in. And I can't control the world. You can't control the world. But safety, refuge, and freedom is not found in this world. It's found in Him. In Psalm 23, David understood it, didn't he? He knew that the Lord is our shepherd. Because the Lord's our shepherd, we want anything. We'll have everything we need. He understood that we're going to walk through scary times. But there's a rod and there's a staff. There's going to be days when the waters are rough, but He's going to make me lay down beside the still and calm waters. There's going to be days when I'm going to face death and I'm going to face trials. But I don't have to be afraid as long as I abide in Him. David was more than a shepherd. David was more than the giant slayer. David was more than king. I like the definition of David that he was the man after God's own heart. The reason he was the man after God's own heart is because he was the one who understood that God had his best interest at heart. We can live a life of thanks if we trust, if we hope, if we abide. But then next, we cannot have, and I'm going to use a double negative because it's going to go with my points here, all right? No other gods before Him. Our next point, if I'm going to live a life of faith, I can have no other gods before Him. In Deuteronomy 8, read along with me, please, beginning in verse 11. Deuteronomy 8, beginning in verse 11. Beware. That's a word that ought to get our attention. That you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today. Lest that you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. You hear what He's saying? He's saying, be sure you don't forget Him when you have all these blessings. Verse 14, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know. We could keep reading there. But I think we get the understanding. Moses was reminding them to beware. Because what happens when you get full, when you have your livelihood, your money, your house, your vehicles, whatever else we could put in there, all that starts multiplying. We get filled up and everything else. He said, if you're not careful, those things become your gods and you forget. That's when ingratitude starts creeping in. When it becomes about me being on my throne and God not being on the throne, that's when I become an unthankful person. That's when I step away. That's when I allow other things to lord my life. You see, folks, we live in a time when I don't think we're in danger of going and building a statue and worshiping it. Now, they were. In Moses' day, Aaron led that charge. They built a golden calf, and they worshiped it while Moses was receiving the Ten Commandments, which number one said, you shall have no other gods before me. I don't believe that's us today. But let's not kid ourselves. There are a lot of little g gods that reign over people's lives today. And those little g gods may not seem bad. And probably in themselves they're not. In fact, there's probably a lot of good. There's a lot of good that can be done with money. But it can become a god. There's a lot of good can be done with athletics, with extracurricular activities, hobbies. There's a lot of good that can come out of it, but they can become gods. There's a lot of good that can come from my cell phone or my iPad or my laptop or whatever, from the internet. A lot of good can come from it. It can become my god. There's a lot of good that can come from sleep. It can become our god. We could go on and on. Food. We could go on and on and on and on. These are not statues that we're worshiping, but they can become our gods. They can slip in, and we can forget that God delivered us. If I find myself not being as thankful to God as I used to be, there's a reason. Because you're not created that way. So maybe it's a lack of trust. Maybe it's a lack of hope. Maybe I'm not abiding in Him. Maybe I have not abided by no other gods before me. Which leads me to the next point. I need to keep Him first. You see, it becomes about priorities, doesn't it? When it all boils down to it, It's about being, putting God where He needs to be. It's about our priorities. In Matthew 6, verse 33, it's a verse that we're probably very familiar with. Jesus Christ there simply but powerfully says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, in the context of that, all these things are food, clothing, and shelter. If you read all of Matthew 6, He's talking about the birds of the air, the lilies of the field. He's talking about having a roof over our heads and food in our bellies and clothes on our backs. He didn't say it was going to be designer suits and the most expensive steak every night and 10,000 square foot mansions, did He? But He said, "You'll be provided for." But we got to put Him first. We got to put God first. We've got to put the kingdom first. That means no other pecking order. So today, if I am not seeking God first, if I'm not keeping God first, then the odds are that I'm not a very thankful person. I love this church. I know I said that a few weeks ago, and I want you to love this church. But can I tell you, I'm just going off notes now, and that always gets me a little bit in trouble sometimes. But this morning, my eyes, maybe I'm tired, my emotions are high, I'm sad for people. But Jeff stood up here, did a fine job, always does. But I watched Jeff grow up. Jeff was in my youth group. And I look up here and I think about this man who is a deacon in the church now, will be an elder in the church one day. And it just, my heart just overflowed that what a blessing it is to have men like that, women like, you know, we've got so many. And I just think about how special the church is. How special, I mean, I could say that about a lot of folks here. I've watched growth. Heaven knows you've watched me grow. You know, it doesn't mean we're always going to be perfect. It doesn't mean we're ever going to be perfect. But at the end of the day, God is perfect. And if I seek Him and His kingdom, man, I'm going to have blessings beyond measure. My heart's going to be full. It's about seeking God first. It's about loving God first. It's about keeping God first. You see, after all, the Holy Spirit told Paul that I will show you a more excellent way. That love that he talks about in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, it is the more excellent way. Love is God. God is love. God is the Creator. He is the giving of all blessings. And we need to keep Him first in our lives. Finally, this morning, if I'm going to live a life of thankfulness, if I'm going to live a life of thanks, then I need to serve Him. I need to trust Him. I need to hope in Him, abide in Him, have no other gods before Him, keep Him first, and serve Him. Time will not permit me to go to John 13, 1 through 17 with you. But let me allow your minds to for a moment. Can you imagine that scene? Today, I don't know who a big celebrity is, and I'm not going to attempt to do it because I'm outdated with that kind of stuff. But imagine a big celebrity. It could be a singer, it could be a sports star, it could be a movie star, whoever. It could be a politician, whatever. Okay? They walked in here today and man, I don't know that we would, but there are a lot of people, if they walked into Walmart, I mean, it's just going to cause a ruckus, isn't it? Nobody has given more and done more. It all pales in comparison to what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ wasn't rich on earth, very wealthy in heaven, right? Wasn't rich on earth, but He changed this world. But on the occasion of John 13, He wasn't some celebrity looking to be served. Mm-mm. When they couldn't find the person to wash the feet, I imagine the disciples were sitting around like, who's going to wash our feet? I mean, can you believe they don't even have anybody here to wash our feet? Maybe I'm reading too much into that, but they didn't jump down there and do it. Like, when's He going to get here? I'm ready to eat, you know? When's the servant going to get here? Jesus said, watch this. He didn't say it, but girded himself, went and got that bowl, and He started washing feet. Now, can you imagine? We know what Peter was thinking. Oh, no, 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 no. I would have said, this is why I have a long ways to go to get to Jesus, okay? I would have said, nah, Peter, you didn't want to do it. You go sit here and let me do it now. I'm going to show you. That's not Jesus' attitude. He used that to teach Peter a lesson. Peter's like, oh, no, 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 you're not going to wash me. Well, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Well, then wash my whole body. I mean, poor old Peter. But at the end of the day, you know what Jesus did? He taught all those men, it's not about me. Now, this is God in the flesh who didn't expect to be served, but He expected Himself to serve. Jesus didn't come to be served. Jesus came to serve. You know, when we sing that song, Lord, make me a servant. Do what You must do to make me a servant. Lord, make me like You. We better be thinking about what we're singing. If you and I will serve like Jesus Christ, we will never ever struggle with being thankful. Thanks. Trust. Hope. Abide. No other gods. Keep Him first and serve. We will do these six things. We will never struggle with being ungrateful. Today, as we get ready to close out our service, I hope and pray that you are in a saved, faithful relationship with Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that you have been baptized for the remission of your sins, and that you are living a life of gratitude. But if you are not, please know there's an opportunity right now to confess the sweet name of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of every sin you've ever committed, to come up out of that water and to walk in newness of life. You know those 10 lepers? They had their bodies healed. But 9 of them, and I'm sure all 10 probably thought at one time, if He heals me, I'll always thank Him. I'll always do this. I'll always do that. But when those 9 got healed, they went another way. Jesus, when that one returned, said, where are the other 9? Let's don't be those other 9. If we need to make it right, let's do it right now. It's together. We stand and sing.